Well, hey everyone, welcome to, I'm seeing another little issue. Dang it, but I'm going to let it slide for now. Welcome to the Gundam Explained show live. Right before Steven and I got started, I'm like, hey, just so you know, I'm always going to do this warning. If it crashes, I'll get it up and running again. And sure enough, OBS crashed.
I think you jinxed yourself is what happened.
Yeah. No, but what I did was, so for people in the older chat, I plugged the link in for this one, although that wouldn't make sense if you're here to know that. So, but yeah, it's not. Anyway, Steven, glad you could join. I am going to unplug my mic and plug it back in real quick if you want to say hi.
Yeah, how's it going, everybody? Happy New Year. Hopefully you guys are fully recovered from your New Year's Day shenanigans and back to work, back to wage slavery, as it were. Let's see. We had a fun show over on my channel yesterday. I hope that you guys have checked out Adam's video about the Gundam versus Gundam Mark II, all of the variants. One of the things that kind of actually drives me nuts about that, which, you know, I think that we could have gone into bigger detail about, is just the fact that, isn't it weird how you have RX-78 and then all of the different variants, RX-79, the ground Gundam, and then there's no RXs until you get to the RX-178 Mark II.
Yeah, and hey, by the way, I think I'm back.
Okay, cool.
Although it's, hold on, I got to do this other thing. Although, keep that, dang it, it's freaking OBS, keep that thought, because the whole thing about the RX-78, I want to do some real quick, because I think my...
technically you have like the RX-121, the Hazel. Yeah. So there are other RX lines in between 78 and 178, but like,
yeah, that was confusing to me, but then they explain what that means. And I even made a video about it, but I totally forgot, but it had something to do with, yeah, it had something to do with the 78 still meaning something, but they had the one in front to denote something. I don't know. The interesting thing about it though, is that I guess the reason I made the video, that Mark II video, it was that idea where actually there's a lot of thoughts, a string of consciousness. So let me start from the beginning. One, you said Happy New Year's, you know, to everyone. So, of course, this is the first
live of the year.
Yeah, which we'll dive into the Gunpla coming out this year, because I think that's, you know, a big thing, obviously. But then, yeah, the videos. So, like, another crazy thing, you know, we're getting into the new year. The channel is almost at 10,000 subscribers, and that's blowing my mind. Like, it could happen in the next couple days. And what's interesting, a lot of the videos recently that were real popular were ones where it's lore based, which I like to do, but it's when I personally legitimately like, I wonder how this works. You know that meme where you see the guy in bed like this thinking, and then the wife is like, I guess he's mad at me about something. And then in his mind, it's like this UC lore that I'm thinking like, oh, how did they develop this from that? And so I record myself researching that. Essentially, that's how, you know, the video game or the videos come about.
Yeah.
But those blew up this week.
I tell everyone this is because everyone's always trying to sort of game the algorithm and, like, you know, try to optimize. And what will happen is when you're in content creation, this is a little inside baseball for you guys, but when you're in content creation, you know, you can get on that hamster wheel and you can actually, like, optimize the fun out of what you're doing. And once you've done that, then why even bother anymore? Yeah, because you might not realize it, but it is incredibly transparent to the people that are watching if the things that you're talking about are not things that you care about. So, yeah, I think it's so telling, the fact that the videos that you are most heavily invested in are also the ones that seemingly outperform in terms of views, in terms of engagement, things like that.
Yeah, and I will think everyone, you know, that watches, especially those in the Discord, because it'll be interesting how, I think someone brought up something about, you know, the future of G-Savior, like something that happened, you know, beyond G-Savior. And I was like, oh, I'm always interested in that stuff. And then when I read, you know, that there's this old, you know, they took the last shooting style Gundam and then modified it or whatever, upgraded it. Right. I was like, okay, this is awesome. I'm going to do some, what I do is I research And then from all of the research I do, I then map it out in my browser of like the flow that I should read this back would make sense this way. So then I do that so I can share the screen and do it. And it's so fun because I come out of that knowing more new things. A lot of times I get comments about people adding to the lore or telling me I'm wrong. You know, that's no, but, no, but, yeah, thanks for that save early on in this show. Stephen, I feel like though we're at a point where when there's a technical difficulty, sometimes we can just quickly rebound. And I think that's key.
Because, you know, for sure.
Because so I saw Xionic Shadows like, what did I miss? And it was like, yeah, you missed another technical difficulty, but
botched.
Yeah, it's great. I need to, you know, when OBS, any program has an error and it's like, save the log. It's like, no, send error report. No, I just want to get to, it's like, actually, I should probably save that error report.
Well, it was just hilarious, you know, who actually saves the error reports? Because at when a program crashes, you're not exactly in the time where it's like, you know what, I should look into this. Like,
yes,
no, you're in the middle of a live stream.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny.
Imagine if Shiro Amada, when the Easy 8 shut down, if there was a little pop-up that said, like, do you want to forward your diagnostic all your data to Anaheim
or something? Like, or actually, that would be the Federation. It was funny because when I was doing that research, it sounded like Anaheim wasn't a big deal as much as the Federation was. I guess they were more of just funding Anaheim as a manufacturer, but then I guess from that Anaheim got super rich, so they were able to then start doing suits for everybody. But yeah. Anyway, maybe that's another lore video for another
time. Yeah, Anaheim Martin or Lockheed Anaheim, something
like that. that's good. Which is crazy because that stuff pops up in the news even now, like the big corporate, you know, weapon makers and what they're involved with and all that. It's funny. I went down a crazy rabbit hole when I was looking at missing aircraft.
Oh, and, yeah.
And how often those Boeing airliners don't go missing because they have so much redundancy and technology in them and they cost so much money. So when something does go missing, like MH370, and you kind of read the circumstances, like, okay, something was going on there. They probably know what happened. And they just can't. Yeah, because I was reading that there's four black boxes or in transponders, and there's one in a section of the Boeing commercial airliners that no one can physically get to because it's made to be in a way that if it goes in the ocean, they're all made to float too. So all these pieces are made to float. You know, it's
that's wild.
So that's what would be interesting that I need to revisit stuff like 0083. Even Zeta to a point, even though it's real obvious, but the conspiracies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how would it be if there was like a Gundam side story that was something like War Dogs or like Lord of War, any of those war movies where there's a weapons manufacturer that's like buried in deep with the unit that they're selling weapons to.
Because when they do that in Gundam, they do it in a very. Yes, that's like. Shady, conspiratorial, but it helps with the story. But I feel like something could be centered more around that where there's more of an impact of the people involved in the conspiracy rather than the conspiracy impacting, you know, the world, if that makes sense. Have to think about that sometime. Hey, Alan Mitchell, hello and happy new year, everyone. Yeah, that's right. First show of the year. Okay, moving on. So, it's like day two of January. What's something Gundam that you've already gotten into?
I have been building this real grade Justice Gundam, which was provided to me by our mutual friend Ultronimus. I actually made a lot of progress on it, given how slow I typically build. I'm probably going to finish that up either tomorrow evening or Saturday. And, you know, if Ultronimus is willing, he might hang out on stream with me. And I was actually using your brilliantly designed Gunpla assembly mat for said purposes. I also, I got a gift card for Christmas. And I went ahead and went to the hobby store and picked up some Tamiya acrylic paints, which I've never used before. You know, you guys know me. I use cheapo stuff, and like the only expensive paint that I've ever used is like a Vallejo. So I got like some legit Tamiya paint and some acrylic paint thinner, and we're gonna try out you know, some good stuff and see how that goes.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, because I bought some thinner and I used the acrylic paint, but I've never used the thinner because it was more of, I was just told I should get this. Yeah. And when I've painted by hand, it's been good, but I've noticed spots where maybe thinner could come into play. So I might have to check that out. When do you think you'll stream?
I don't know. As far as like with the paints, that's probably not going to be for at least a couple of weeks until, you know, I get the whole floors done, all that set up.
Oh, that's right.
But in the meantime, you know, I'll be doing more building and that kind of thing. So,
okay, that's cool.
Yeah, about you? What kind of see? And it's already day two of 2025, and I'm behind. So,
for me, there's a couple videos that I'm planning out. But what's really interesting, and this just came in the mail today. This is the, I think this is the official name of it. Nope, that's all in Chinese or Japanese. Yeah, I think that's Japanese. I guess you guys could tell me, but it's that light.
The Wings of Light.
Wings of Light, yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
So this is, it's like third party, you know, which is pretty neat. You know, it's interesting that Bandai doesn't just offer this as an add-on, I would think. But I'm looking forward to putting this on because I'm going to be doing a review of that SD Master Grade. And so I'm going to do it with this. I'll have the link to this because I only paid like $8 for this.
It's not bad.
I got it on AliExpress and it came on time. So that's actually pretty cool. It's that. And then the other thing is I finished building the rest of the Mobile Suit Ensemble from that set of 08MS team.
So and, awesome.
I know why these things are expensive. Like, I know they're Gashapon, but like, even like, look at the mono eye, how that's all molded and colored behind the visor. Like, they really have a lot of detail. And then, you know, having that heat rod or heat sword, I think there's a specific name for
that. For the Dom, it'd be the heat saber.
Heat saber. Okay. Thank you.
Which, ironically, not a saber.
Yeah, exactly. That's but and again, I love these Mobile Suit Ensemble because I mean, look at that articulation, like
I think that they're worth the price tag on them because they're just so like, and in a lot of ways, they're more durable than a typical model kit, right?
Yeah, exactly. The only issue would be and it's crazy that they do this because you think antennas are small on high grades anyway. These have antennas like some of the other ones, and those things are so tiny and I lose them. but I usually end up finding them because it's somewhere within the vicinity of, you know, where I had, you know, what I was doing. But you know what? To be honest, most of my time on New Year's was spent with Godzilla. Cause it's been like that lately. It's been my side piece. You know, I have Gundam is my main, right? And then every once in a while, you know, I don't want to get tired of Gundam. So I get into other things. Not that I feel like I could get tired of Gundam, but, and
it's a harmless tryst.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. I platinumed the PS3 Godzilla game. And then I did shell out. Someone had this locally. So I was able to get it again on PS4. I've been playing a bunch of that, and it is a lot of fun. And to be honest, as I'm playing it, the thing I keep thinking in my head is there should be a Gundam game like this. Because all this is, this guy, and I say all it is, but what they have mastered with this is the experience of feeling like you are in a Godzilla movie.
Of being, you know, huge.
Yeah, because, well, it's funny because you play as Godzilla, but the narrative is you as the humans. So you're destroying things. It's like, oh no, we lost. You know, it sounds like Mission Lost, but it's not.
I think you brought up a good point, though, is it's like basically any game that you and I play, we're always like, oh, this would make a good Gundam game.
And it's like the Games Workshop thing with Warhammer, how they have a game in every genre. I think Gundam could do that. You know, they should. Then the thing I love too, and this is things people would hate, the left and right bumper is how you turn Godzilla.
Oh, so it's like steering.
Yes. I love it because it feels like you're this lumbering thing, and then you have to use all the tools at your disposal to just really, you know, survive, you know, it's just really cool how, again, it has branching paths. It's not a roguelike, but the campaign's built like that. The PS4 version, you could be 22 different kaiju, and it has two new modes alongside the main one, where one is invade, where you're just a bad kaiju that goes in to fight Godzilla and stuff. But then there's another one where there's only a few kaiju you can choose. One is like the Mothra larva, and you're actually a good guy, and you go in. And what's interesting is it's the opposite of a Godzilla. You get more points for the less destruction you cause. So the strategy is to try to get the enemy kaiju like in a corner where there's no buildings or vehicles or anything.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, that's just another fascinating gameplay layer. That's how a Superman game should be. How can you use all the tools at your disposal to take out the enemy without causing destruction and death? You know? Yeah, and think about it. Let's say, and it's kind of how the Godzilla game works. Let's say the Superman game is 10 levels, but let's say you cause so much destruction by level 5, the world is pretty much over. But what if you're able to not cause the destruction, and then maybe level 9, you get this cool ending, but so-and-so's parents died because of everything. Or you finally get to level 10 because you're able to avoid destruction somewhere, so it allows you to go further in the game.
I think that's cool. I just love different types of objectives like that, where you're not bound by just destroy the other team.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I think, you know, when I was reading these reviews of the Godzilla game, where people are like, it's just kind of repetitive. And it is to a point, but it's really not about just destroying everything. That's a factor, but there's a lot to it, and it's very cool how they pulled it off. But, again, I think they need to focus on making a Gundam game, again, that makes it feel like you're in a mobile suit, even though I don't think most people would like that. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. It's crazy because I feel like every week I see another person on YouTube that posts a video about Rise from the Ashes, and they're like, the forgotten gem from the 90s. And it's like, nobody forgot it. We're all still talking about it.
I literally just saw that video today where someone said forgotten first person Gundam first person shooter. And I was like, no one forgot it.
Yeah,
we want another one. We talk about it all the time. But I guess I see what maybe he means in terms of
Bandai might have forgotten it.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think, you know, it's interesting how sometimes there are games that come out that don't seem accessible, but they're super popular, like Escape from Tarkov. I would even think Dark Souls, the Souls series. And I think what it needs to, if it doesn't seem, maybe accessible is the wrong word, but maybe that it's challenging, but there's accessibility to master. Mm-hmm. You know, that challenge. And I think that needs to be what a Gundam game is, that it goes beyond, oh, here's just a game that's Gundam. It's like, let's get people that don't know about Gundam, that are into video games, playing a game that gets them into Gundam. Because it's like, oh, this mobile suit, like moving it, messing around, doing stuff with, you know, I like the idea of the controls require things using the controller, like a joystick, but that's harder to get everyone, but using the controller or gamepad controls like you would be in a cockpit. Like maybe you have to hold down B and press right trigger to like do this or that. You know what I mean? Like just some random things. And
yeah, introducing some macros and like, you know, some kind of like, especially if, you know, controlling the hands, for instance, if the trigger was the grip of the mobile suit, like you use the right stick to move the right hand, and then you pull the trigger to grab, and like, I don't know, something like that. But
that would be pretty neat, because it could be where you're, and this is reminding me of VR, is where you're almost switching to the weapon you want to use, but you hold down the right trigger to make the gun go up, and then maybe you click in the thumbstick to fire it. You know, make it feel a lot more tactile than a button, because you, if they do the Gundam game right, you're going to be watching for your beam shots because of the energy. That would be cool. You got, and some games do that, like 0081, where you manage your ammo, but to do it in first person and have it maybe where you hold down the left trigger, and then that allows you to use the left thumbstick to look around wherever you want in the mobile suit. So you can like look out a window and then you let go. So then you can move the mobile suit or something, you know?
Yeah, I feel it sounds like this is the type of game that needed to be on the N64 back when they had like, you know, the three grips so that you could have like different. But I do want to go back to the comparison you made, because ultimately this is what it comes down to. And the reason that we're kind of having this conversation, the reason that we're being critical of Gundam games, is because like you said, when you look at the Warhammer franchise, there are games that people will play even if they are not Warhammer fans.
Yeah.
Like people will play Space Marine. People will play Bolt Gun, even if they're not into even if they're not into Warhammer. When you look at a game like, and I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna pick on Gundam Breaker 4 again. Okay. You know, if you look at the funnel, you have Gundam fans, and not all Gundam fans are Gunpla fans, but there are Gunpla fans that are Gundam fans. And then, okay, who's gonna play a Gunpla video game? It's going to be an even smaller percentage of the people that are Gunpla fans. Whereas when you look at Warhammer, it's like, here's the franchise. Some people play the tabletop game. Other people only play the video games. Some people who aren't even fans of the franchise will play the video games or just paint the miniatures. So it's like, that's where you get that like wide distribution of customers and ultimately fans, is by reaching out outside of the people that you've already captured as your customer. Yeah.
You know, and that's a good point, because I've actually been playing Gundam Breaker 4 lately. I started a few days ago. Yeah. I guess that could be my New Year's thing, where I was playing Gundam Breaker 4, trying to get some other achievements, leveling up stuff. I want to use the Mighty Strike Freedom. I even recorded a video I'll have up later where I go to build it for the first time, and I'm trying to find what weapons. But as far as I know, the weapons aren't in the game that the Mighty Strike Freedom uses. I think maybe the Beam Saber. But there's guns that look like the guns, but I don't think any of them are. Anyway, so what happened was, after I got done with Godzilla on PS3, I had this urge to, okay, I want to immerse myself in a universe that I like while having essentially checkboxes of things to do. Gundam Breaker 4 provides that for me, because I can jump in. Oh, I'm going to build the Mighty Strike Freedom. There's these two missions I didn't get an S in. I'll go and do that. Oh, I'm figuring out the combos again. And then it's like, okay, you know, and I think that's the strength of a game like Gundam Breaker 4, if you're a fan of that stuff, is that's a fun game that you can just turn on, go back to. Don't really have to think too much. Or you don't even, actually, if you want to do the thinking, you don't have to play, and then you can just build something unique, you know. And I think Alan Mitchell was telling me that he even ran out of blueprint spots. So like, once you build a kit, you go to the blueprints and you add it there.
Yeah.
And I've even noticed it's limited too. So like, if you wanted to build every kit, you couldn't. Yeah. So you know, anyway, that's kind of going back into the complaints about the game, but I find it fun. Like, and Gundam Breaker 4 can exist alongside another Gundam first person shooter.
Exactly. A Gundam
fighting game.
It's not one or the other. It's have a little bit of everything. And importantly, have Gundam video games that appeal to non-Gundam fans, because then that's how you're going to draw them into the franchise.
Yeah. And the biggest one for me that would totally get me is if they made a strategy game, a real time strategy Gundam game.
So kind of like a Gearin's Greed, but like upscaled.
Yeah, and I haven't played Gearin's Greed, but like I from what I've played, like a Command & Conquer, pretty much give me Command & Conquer. Because even, Tiberian Sun, the sequel to Command & Conquer, had more mechs in it. They started adding, and I loved that. Yeah, that's, I keep forgetting that was the other franchise that had mechs that I liked, was Command & Conquer, even though that wasn't the main focus.
Yeah.
But yeah, just building your mechs, sending them out. I even like the idea of building your Federation soldiers to send them out, and then let's say, like, one of your mobile suits gets destroyed, and then the pilot you can rescue, like you can have him walk back.
Yeah.
You know, to base. Cause they did that in Command & Conquer Generals. And then you could put that pilot into another vehicle. And if
it would
be
upgrade, like it would,
if they had more experience, it would upgrade their experience. So that just
cool stuff
happened. So that is for 2025. Bandai needs to release a Command & Conquer Gundam game. So but yeah, so 2025, since we're here, I wanted to talk about some Gunpla releases, actually. And you know what? I might have to reshare that screen. Yeah, oh, it popped up. See, sometimes crashes aren't so bad. So I preliminarily used ChatGPT to get me a list, but if there's more, we can jump to a website or if anyone has any that they want to throw in there. But one of the first ones we're getting is the Strike. Is it Rouge or Rogue?
Rouge.
Okay.
And that's the entry grade, right?
Entry grade, yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Honestly, I might pick that up.
Yeah, because it's an entry grade. It's not going to be expensive. Yeah. And, you know, there's been this little seed interest. Planted a seed of interest in seed. And this has the option part set. Now, it made me wonder, is this the same as the one that came?
Don't ask questions. Just buy the gum.
Well, no, I wonder because it has this option part set gum barrel striker. Oh, yeah. Here it is.
Yep. That's the one.
Which looks so I got the one that came with Gundam Breaker 4.
Yeah.
And it has the option part set. So I wonder if that stuff is interchangeable. You know.
Yeah, I assume so. And I mean, they already have an entry grade Strike Gundam in the standard colors. So this is really just a repaint.
Oh, so that probably is what mine is anyway, or that.
Gundam yeah, I mean, the base kit is the exact same. I think that this one being the Rouge, it's a recolor, but then it also comes with the option part set that the original Strike did not.
Is there a Strike Rogue? Because that could be.
Maybe there needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. So, yeah, pretty neat. I like, yeah, look, they have on the back of the RX-78 too. Yeah, have the Striker pack. Or a gun barrel Striker. I don't know what they call it, but no, that's
and cool. I'm curious, and maybe someone in chat knows this because I've always like, I love the idea of making conversion kits for entry grades because they're so easy to like interchange parts onto. The only thing I don't like about the entry grade RX-78 is that the waist has like the pelvis has the yellow parts of the skirt are built into it. So that means that anything that you put on that has to account for that space. So like if I were to make something turnkey, so like if does this kit have pelvis joints that are like, you know, or is it a clean inner frame is the question
I'd have to see at. But because it seems to have a slim profile to it, that could be, I like that idea. If there was like this armor pieces you can make to put on and then basically make it like a completely different.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, moving down, and if we actually let me go back to here. Okay, yeah, there's the option part set. Yeah, this is all over the place because here, okay, this is an SD kit. I probably wouldn't get it, but I can look at it.
we can admire it from afar
because that looks cool. I guess it's a set of Stardust Memory.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that looks cool, but it's interesting how horizontal these are. You know what I mean? Like,
are they, it's BB Senshi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wherever. Yeah. So, and I guess that's maybe what puts me off on that look compared to the Mobile Suit Ensemble because, you know, there's still relatively, I don't know, proportioned well. Okay. Okay. Well, let me go back to this. The Quacks.
The G-Cucks.
So, okay. Well, I guess it takes me to the same website anyway. I actually have this pre-ordered. So I hope I get it. I used HobbyLink Japan.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So it's supposed to come out in January. HobbyLink Japan's usually pretty good about that stuff, so I would get it like at least a week after it releases.
Which is good, yeah. Now, my question is, and this is probably a little further down, so I don't want to, if this is a spoiler, but there's another pre-order that's available on Hobby League Japan. Are you going to have those shipped together?
Psycho Gundam?
Yep.
No, I'm that guy that will pay extra money to get the thing right away. I'll pay that extra shipping. I did that
one
time.
You just gotta have it. You gotta have it.
I did that one time 2 days in a row. I ordered something, and then the next day I was like, you know what? I want to get this too. And then I paid double shipping. What? You know, that's a New Year's resolution. Be mindful of the shipping.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know what? I'm interested in this just because I feel like unique high grades are very unique with model kits nowadays, mm-hmm. just in general, when a high grade comes out, like of the Gundam EX. What was another high grade that I built? I'm looking at all my high grades. There was something else that maybe was it the GM Spartan? Well, you know, it's where these high grades almost look like they could be a real grade. Because there's so much detail to them. And it looks like, and when I saw this in person at the Gundam base, I thought it looked great in person. So I'm super excited about that. Okay. So, okay, this one is pretty cool. If it takes me to that, but no, I'm really bad at using websites. Okay.
I mean, really, they all are kind of redirecting. Well, this is Hobby G, but I'm going to say most of them are still going to Gundam Kits Collection, which I think is
that's the place.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. But it's the option part set for the Cavalier Aphrid. But so this is for that Zagok from Seed Freedom. Did that come out yet?
I don't know. I thought it had, but maybe I'm
okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, and then the Justice would go inside of it.
Yeah, it doesn't fit completely inside of it like the Ray Studio one does, but like you can take the torso of the Justice and put it inside the Zagok body, which is kind of cool.
Dude, I love how it has the battle damage, and you can see the head underneath.
It's pretty sweet.
That is a really cool idea. Like, I'm telling you, like, Freedom completely changed my life. Unknowingly. I love all these suits. Let's see. Okay, so maybe, yeah, it is coming out at the same time. Then I need to pre-order one or two or both. So this is, yeah, look at that. That's not a lot.
February no, it's not bad released. At all.
Man, I would love to build that. I'm going to try to pre-order it. There's just so much to it. You know, it being like a classic UC design, but then having the wings that I think C does a good job of with showing on their mobile suits. And then the whole thing where there's a Justice inside, right? And that's,
oh, yeah. I mean, gimmicks. Know. It's got the heat claws. It's got the battle-damaged head. That's one thing that the high grades are getting a lot better about is including like option parts and gimmicks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So that's another win. Okay. So there's that. Okay. Here's the other one. The one that you were alluding to, is that Psycho Gundam Mark II. I didn't pre-order this and I need to. Oh. So I'm glad you told me it should still be up for pre-order. We can check. Have you pre-ordered it?
I have. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's still up. Okay, cool. So just seeing the comparison, like, I think we all, like, we can imagine the size of a Gunpla in front of us already. So just seeing that next to it, I would love to have the, I'm wondering. So do you have the Psycho Gundam?
Yeah, right. Actually, here, let me.
And would you say that as cool as it is, does it seem kind of lacking in any ways?
I don't think that it's lacking. I mean, I guess it probably doesn't have as many cool accessories as the Psycho Mark II because it doesn't have reflector bits. Like, it's basically this, and then there's the shield.
That could be what I'm thinking. It's just in universe the stuff that it. As going for it, that thing transforms.
What I think that this needs is it needs the beam effect parts that like the Psycho Mark II has. Is like if it had some beam effect parts that plugged into the center here that.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point because I'm looking at the beam effect parts here. And not only that, but it comes with the stand.
With another win.
The three bases on it. Yeah. And then looking at all those effect parts, I think that's a good point. That's very important for setting things up, especially something big like that. It's funny because even though we got the Big Zam in the Robot Spirits form, this would be a cool Robot Spirits that would be super expensive. But even for me, it's like I have my Psycho Gundam in my Zeta shelf and everything else is Robot Spirits but that. And so I don't mind mixing. And the fact that this comes with all the beam effect parts
kind of fits in with that group.
It does.
Yeah. And honestly, it looks bigger than the Psycho Mark One because like, you know, I'm looking at my high grade Zeta and this is maybe two Zetas tall. That looks like 2.5 Zetas. And so I would say that like the price of the Psycho Gundam Mark II is justified considering that A, you know, it's been almost a decade since this guy came out. B, it's the same size figure, but with more effect parts, more option parts, like the damaged head. It comes with a stand. So like it really is like everything about the Psycho Gundam, but upgraded.
Yeah, it's a three base stand and it comes with the connectors for the bits. So I think that's a good price. And I do think that's why I do think Gunpla, it's funny how we could be like, oh, that's a pretty good price because it's interesting. Like, you know, there's so many things out there that I think are pricey. You know, we even common things we buy a lot, we might go like, oh, wow, I got to spend this. But then if you look at the price of, there you go. But if you look at the prices of Gunpla, a lot of times you're not thinking twice. I wonder if that is part of their strategy. Where they purposely price things low? Because I mean, I think these are good prices generally. Okay. The other one, and I think that was about to show it. Yeah. The Gundam Vidar. It's a master grade. And let me go back. So is this? This is something from Iron Blooded Orphans. So I haven't got to this part in the show yet.
Yeah.
I think it looks cool. Though I love the back mess it's got going on.
The back also, mess.
If I'm not mistaken, this has the pistol that you can pull back on it.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, which is neat. And how often do we get unique master grades?
I know a lot of people that have been like really clamoring for this kit. In particular because, you know, there really aren't any other antagonist mobile suits in Master Grade from IBO.
Oh.
It's like you have a bunch of Barbatos and then, like, nothing to pose your Barbatos with.
Well, I don't know if you would know and if it would be a spoiler who the bad guy pilot is of this.
I don't think that it's a spoiler. I think it's that, and I'll probably butcher the name, but Gailo.
I might not be that far yet then.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Cause that's another thing this year is to finish IBO. I got up to episode 9. But you know what? I would get this just because it's not Universal Century. But it's a master grade that looks badass.
It's one of the cooler looking Gundams. Like I like the Camaris and the Vidar from IBO.
Isn't there one called the Astaroth or something like that? Does that sound familiar? Because it had like a hand, but then like a giant hand.
Yeah.
In front of it. That was one of the first kits I built when I had no idea what anything was.
But it's cool to have that asymmetrical look, right?
Yeah, you know, exactly. That's kind of why I picked it up. I thought it was pretty neat. I think this is going to be a buy for sure, I think. So,
if only for that gun gimmick.
Yeah, I know. That's one, especially because it has two pistols. You know, I love that. And you know what? I'll have to hit up Art Rovo Gundam to see if he's going to be getting these things, which the show is sponsored by, yeah, at the top it says, okay, great.
I was going to say, what an excellent segue.
Yeah, because there's some of these kits I want to get, and I'll just have to see if he's getting them so I can pre-order them. You know, it would be nice. I guess, like, you can do that anyway, but, like, just to go to a store that you trust and be like, okay, I want to get all these kits. Can I just pre-order them with you just to get it out of the way?
I mean, that is how, like, comic book shops used to be, where it was like, you know, they would basically have the previews come out, and it would be like, okay, here's what's coming out next month. You know, we've got, like, Incredible Iron Man, and, like, you know, Spectacular Spider-Man, this episode, like, this issue. And it would be like, okay, if I have a subscription box, I'm going to say, hey, I want copies of all of these. And then they will go out of their way. They might order some, like, it might be something that they were going to order anyway. But if it wasn't something that they were going to order, they'll order a copy for you and keep and hold it for you for when you come pick it up.
Yeah, that reminds me. I forget how long ago this was at my local comic shop, but
need local Gunpla shops that do the same thing.
Yeah, because I think it was something about, like, if they were getting a certain comic in, and they're like, "Well, I can order you the series, and as they come in, you know, you can get them." I was like, "Oh, I don't know," you know, because I think it was one of those where maybe they weren't sure if they needed to buy them because it might have been some random comic that, you know, how like. Sometimes it'll be these like comics that come out of a property that look, wow, they made a comic of this, and like how many people buy it, you know? Yeah, that looks great. I just love looking at that. So, let's see. Oh, here's one that seems like it's all you. It takes me to the same website. That didn't work. It was the. There we go. The BB Senshi Mobile Suit Gundam Principality of Zeon MS set. Is that it? Yeah, pre-order. So
that's pretty sweet.
This is actually pretty cool, even though I wouldn't get that scale, but I like how you get all those
main. Why are the shoulders so big? Like it's not even like the entire mobile suit is wide. It's like the shoulder is oversized for no reason.
Yeah. It's like the shoulder itself and then the spike plating and the shield on it on top of that. But I like these goofy,
they're fun. Goofy
suits. Oh, articulated fingers on this one.
Nice.
But yeah, but $35.99.
For a five pack.
I mean, that's how they get you. It's like, because it's like, would I really get that? Well, for $35. You know, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what else. Oh, this is pretty cool. This is.
Oh, yeah.
Play 2 or Puru 2. I don't know what's the accepted use or way an English speaker should be saying the name, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess technically it's what? Pull?
Is it pull?
Well, so the name, like LPO. Puru is L people backwards.
Oh, which, interesting.
Yeah, it was such a weird naming convention. It's like, so it's L people backwards, which is like the people. And then, so like LPO pull or pulla. And that's where like the Puru comes from, is like obviously translators when they were, you know, listening to it. It was like, oh, Puru.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, that's where that would come from. But, you know, the biggest deal for me with this is an action figure from Double Zeta, even though it's a model kit. But it's like the closest we're getting to like an action figure.
It's like we don't even have Zeta action figures.
I know. I know, but getting the helmet, gun, I mean, is it because like the anime girl model kits are maybe more popular than if they were to do like Camille? Romero.
I'm sure obviously it's like, what are the other figurized kits that they have? It's Choo Choo, yeah. It's Miorne, Lunamaria from Seed, which, come on, like why didn't they give us a Cecilia from Witch from Mercury?
Yeah, you know what,
the best part is I would take Cecilia even if she's not articulated. You can have her sitting in the chair like she's always, you know, just lounging. Oh.
Yeah, I bet they have that because I've seen they have those figures that are just in a single pose.
Yeah.
But it would be great if they had, oh, there's a fly, Haman Karn.
Oh, yeah. Haman, Sela, you know.
Yeah, like that. Those. So if we're seeing this as a release, makes me think they would be doing those, and that would be great.
And I hope you get more Double Zeta girls like Rue and Elle.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. But I just, honestly, they just need to go all in, commit, and have the balls to make men figures. Who cares? Give me a Bright Noah.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
That would Give me the Husbando Bright Noah that's got like the unbuttoned.
Dude, I was just thinking that where it would be like the alternate. You know, they have like the alternate stuff. It would be the torso where the, yeah.
Yeah, with the unbuttoned shirt and yeah.
Yeah. No, that would be great. It's just because I think it would help fill out the, it would humanize my shelves of 0079 Zeta, where you're seeing those certain characters that kind of help elevate what the story is that you're seeing these mobile suits in. So, Yeah, even Ultronimus is saying embrace husbandos. Oh, simply new type, articulating slap hand. Oh, yes. That would have to be there. It would be a handmade for a slap.
Although $28, isn't that crazy that the figureized figure is $28 compared to like the BB Senshi set? You get five for $35.
Not only that, but when I was, I wanted to get the robot, no, it's SH Figure Arts. Of it was either Kira or yeah from Freedom, and it's $90, and that's essentially what this is, except
you don't have to assemble it.
Yeah, you don't have to assemble it, which is crazy, because otherwise I'd be getting those. But yeah, having some Double Zeta representation like this for me is awesome. You know, it's funny. When I got into Gundam, what if Double Zeta was the most popular thing? So everything was Double Zeta. And then so I didn't care for it that much. That could be all this really is.
Dude, I'm sure I've, you know, promoted this theory on the show in the past. But I have this theory about an inverse correlation between the amount of screen time that something gets and the popularity that it has. And I call it the Boba Fett law of inverse proportions, because Boba Nice. Fett was only cool when you knew nothing about him. And I swear yeah. that's the only reason people like the Kampfer, is because you only see one cool scene of the Kampfer in Gundam 0080, and then it gets totally right. murked. There's that no reason to like the Kampfer.
No, I think that has to be true. And I think it's the same thing with Godzilla. Because even when he's in his movies, it's not that much.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to be hidden because of special effects, even though, you know, toward the end, it gets to be a lot. But yeah, I think that's the thing with Double Zeta. It has all, it's almost like Double Zeta is almost like the ultimate vision of, in a way, of a team of from Gundam. You know, you have 1 year war, what happens afterwards. But then if you're going to have your Saturday morning team out there, it's the people from Double Zeta.
Dude, know? Double Zeta was the first time that they used the phrase Gundam team.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you told me that. Yeah, so that's... So, yeah, I think it doing that really helped, because it kind of gave off that Power Rangers or Ghostbuster feel, where it's these group of people that have each other's back, but they're working through their problems at the same time. Whereas, like, Camille, at first, he didn't really seem to care about anyone, unless it was a girl that was going to leave the ship, and then he would start crying. But
wouldn't you leave if Emma was gonna leave?
No, I know what you mean. Oh yeah, I would talk her into staying. I would know what to say. Okay. You know what, and I think that's it. Like, this is mainly the January through March releases, so maybe once some more announcements come out for later in the year. Are there any others later in the year that they've already announced?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, and because they
showed the Gundams from GQuax, but they haven't showed model kits of them yet. They've only right. shown them. So we know that red Gundam is coming, but like,
yeah, even the alternate take on the RX-78 too. The mm-hmm. That those would be great, and I would think those would be sooner than later. That's kind of what happened with Witch from Mercury, and the other one is. I wonder if we're going to get any more Master Grade Vercaz, because I think it was a cool surprise this past year how we got the CPACs, their narrative, and the Sinanju sign.
Yeah.
And I did see that they're re-releasing the Buster Gundam, the Victory Buster Gundam, although I don't really count that as a release. So I wonder if they might. So, like, they did narrative, Verka narrative last year. What is something they could be doing in the Verka style this year that they haven't? I mean, I think an easy 1-2 punch wouldn't make sense. I'm thinking about it. Requiem for Vengeance. I don't think that needs a Verka styling. It already kind of, it's its own thing for a reason.
Yeah. You know, I would like to see something, you know, cause I'm a big on like rival suits, right? So it's like, if you're going to have the Requiem for Vengeance Gundam, you have to have the Requiem for Vengeance Zaku. Same thing with the Verka when it came to Thunderbolt. You had the Psycho Zaku, you had the full armor Gundam, the Stein and the CPACs. We didn't get that with the Zeta Gundam. So it's like, what if we got like a Verka, Cubile, or the O? The O, I think, in particular, because we have not had a 1/100 scale O ever that I know of. Like,
potentially. So, and that's because that's so big. Do you think they would even bother?
I mean, we've seen them do sillier stuff like, you know, the Nightingale in RE100.
That's a good point, because that seems random. Unless it's just because they're thinking, oh, it's a Char suit.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
I wonder. Yeah. But yeah, I wonder what another good, what's a good enemy grunt suit in Zeta? Marisai, maybe?
Yeah, probably the Marisai. They wouldn't do a Hyzak.
No.
Maybe the Gapthalay, but I don't know. The Gapthalay is not very popular.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's. Yeah,
but like the Gaplant or the Masala, those are pretty cool.
Yeah, Gaplant would be a cool one. Yeah, that's interesting. Because, and you know, even with them this past year doing the narrative and the Sinanju sign, those are popular anyway. Mm-hmm. So I would think it would be something that's popular that just hasn't got that Verka treatment yet. And it would have to be something in animation that's not origin, you know, right? Like, you can't have a special denotion.
Yeah, exactly. And Kotoki is very, is it just me, or does Kotoki have like an anti-Zeon bias where it's like,
yeah,
you don't like see me. Like a, you don't see like a Verka Goof or a Verka Zaku, because like,
yeah, that's true. You don't really see any of that. It would be cool to see like, a Nemo or something along those lines from Zeta, you know, that, because I wonder if they could just use like, oh, you know, it'd be cool. A Mark II Verka Master Grade.
That would be really sweet.
The 2.0 is cool, but you can even tell looking at it proportionally that it's not like stylized, I guess is the right way to put it. So a Verka Master Grade Mark II that has that slight stylization.
And then look, then they could either do a Gundam based limited Titans version or a P Bandai limited Titans version.
There you go. I see we're helping them come up with ideas to make money. That not that they need us.
Well, what which of the announcements here that we've talked about is the one that you're most looking forward to?
Well, I think it's the Psycho Gundam Mark II, to be honest, just because that just goes with my interest in lore of Gundam, you know, that time period.
Yeah.
But I also really like that Zagak and Cavalier thing, because it's very UC, even though it's not from UC, and it has all the gimmicks, like you said. That's actually a pretty strong beginning of the year, because I also want to get the Plague Clone, just because it's like an action figure.
Yeah.
And it could go on my Zeta, double Zeta shelf. I kind of have it mixed. I have double Zeta in there too.
Well, you could get three of them since she's a clone, you know.
Oh, hey, yeah, that's.
Reenact that scene from UC Engage.
Yeah, where they walk in that room. That was that creepy. You go in that room with all the clones. I still feel like that's something they should and need to expand on in lore somehow. Like the whole cloning thing. What really happened behind the scenes? The individual personalities that might have emerged from the clones, and what made what is it 12? Play 12, who's Marita Cruz,
right?
What maybe early personality traits she developed that made her who she was? Like, I feel like And then the Glemmy clone, it would be cool too. There's all these Glemmy clones. It's like what happened to them. And then we see like the fateful end of like where they get purposely terminated.
Yeah.
Or they get purposely sent out on suicide missions. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, we'll have them in the mobile suits. They'll die in battle, but they'll help us out. What would Glemmy clones use as a mobile suit?
Probably Bawus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes
there
sense.
There are Bawus that the sleeves used. So, like,
yeah.
It would be interesting to learn about, like, the one Glemmy clone that escaped the Glemmy Holocaust and, like, became a sleeves pilot, grew a beard, and, like, wore a hood all the time.
As a scar. So he wears goggles so you can't tell. No, but no, that's actually a good idea for a story. And then could it be almost like Char, where he's trying to take like maybe revenge, where he finds out that Cassilia killed Giran, who could be his clone dad?
Clone daddy.
So he feels like he needs to take revenge, so he's killing anyone that's for, you know, I don't know. Who would he take revenge on, actually? But there's something there. You can mirror Char's art. That'd be interesting. Anyway, that was a really cool way to end the episode with some fan fiction that needs to be a video.
But, exactly right.
We're gonna head on out. So this was fun. Everyone, thanks for joining. You know, maybe in a couple months we can expand and of what other future Gunpla comes out. The beginning of the year has so much I'm interested in.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like maybe quarterly you could go by, what's announced.
As long as there's some post or something somewhere that has everything so I can look it up quickly.
there you go.
That helps. But yeah, I guess that's it for today's episode. Steven, anything to end on?
No, you know, hopefully you guys have enjoyed the holiday weeks and, you know, you guys are going to rock into the weekend. We will, of course, see you then. And, be good to each other.
Yeah, that's good to end it on. Yeah, be good to each other. Have a good weekend, all. We will talk later.